This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Bertlieb. Good morning. Last year, Canada's Supreme Court overturned the country's ban on doctor-assisted suicide. Advocates for a patient's right to choose ending their own lives with a physician's help applauded the ruling, but have been waiting since then for the federal government to issue a new law that spells out the conditions for which seriously ill or dying Canadians can ask for a doctor's help to end their lives. And the wording of that last sentence is important because in ruling to overturn the ban, the Supreme Court in Canada did not require that a person's condition has to be terminal to make the end-of-life request. Well, joining us now on the line for our Friday regional report and more on the federal government's long-awaited ruling is Sharon Kirkey, a senior reporter and health writer with Post Media News. Her articles also appear in the Montreal Gazette and National Post newspaper. Sharon, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Now, what standard has the Canadian federal government set now for Canadians who want a physician's help to end their own lives? I mean, what does the new law specifically lay out?
Well, right now it's a proposed bill, so it still has to pass the House of Commons. But essentially, it's a bill that would allow mentally competent adults, anyone 18 and over, who has an incurable condition that is severe and is causing intolerable suffering to the person. That suffering can be physical or psychological, but they need to have an underlying physical condition that's causing that suffering. And it's interesting, what caused a lot of controversy yesterday when the bill was introduced is that when the Supreme Court struck down the prohibitions in the criminal code that prohibit physician-assisted suicide, nowhere did any of the justices mention that the illness needed to be terminal. The proposed bill says that the death has to be reasonably foreseeable. Other people are saying this is actually a euphemism for terminal illness, so critics are saying it's not in keeping with what the Supreme Court had set out as criteria for eligibility.
Now, I understand, too, that another provision of the bill deals with United States citizens who may want to come to Canada to seek the help of a doctor in ending their lives. What does the bill say about that?
Actually, it prohibits that because you'd have to be a resident of one of the provinces. So they're making this a provincially funded health service, and you would have to be a resident of Canada. So they did this specifically to prevent people from coming from foreign countries, including the U.S., seeking assisted suicide, or we will also be extending it to voluntary euthanasia, which is also different from the U.S. Several states in the U.S. do permit physician-assisted suicide, where the physician writes the prescription for the lethal overdose that the patient then takes himself or herself. Our proposed bill would go further and allow voluntary euthanasia where the doctor actually administers a lethal injection.
Sharon, as you mentioned, party officials still need to sign off on this bill, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of wrangling over it. How does support or opposition look like it will break down among Liberal Party, Conservative, or other party members?
The Conservatives seem to be in support of the spirit of this bill. That's what we were hearing yesterday. The Prime Minister has said he would allow a free vote among his members. There's much belief that it probably will pass the House. This has been a long time in coming. Canadians are anxious for some kind of legislation in this area. What they don't want is it to be left to each of the provinces to sort of come up with their own regime, and then there won't be consistency across the country. We could, you know, have sort of a hodgepodge of different processes. So there is expectation that this bill will pass.
I understand, too, the government is appointing independent committees to deal with some of the outlying issues related to this, such as people who suffer from mental illnesses. What are some of the complexities the committee may study that were not addressed perhaps as well as people might like in the federal bill that's been proposed?
It's interesting because just before this bill was introduced, they had struck a special parliamentary committee that looked at really how broad could they go. And that committee made some very controversial recommendations. One of them was, let's extend it to what's called mature minors. So these are kids 18 and under who are deemed mature enough to make, you know, such a profound decision. Yesterday, the government said they would study whether to extend this to mature minors. They also said they would look at extending it to cover mental illness. And also the whole issue of advanced directives, which is much like we can now say, you know, if I ever get to the point where I don't recognize my family, I don't want resuscitation or life support, they're looking at whether we can include in that advanced directive, if I ever get to that point, I want a physician's help in asking me to die. And this is an important issue for a lot of people because we are an aging population. Our rates of dementia are expected to increase. And many people were hoping that the bill would allow for that provision.
Sharon, I'm going to ask you to kind of go back a year now. And I'm really curious about the Supreme Court decision to overturn the ban on physician-assisted suicide. Was that ruling by the Supreme Court in Canada a surprise when it happened? And was it largely supported?
It was interesting because it was a unanimous decision. All nine justices ruled that those criminal code prohibitions were unconstitutional. It went against an earlier ruling by the same justices in a case going back to Sue Rodriguez. It didn't surprise observers. They were saying that, in the time that had passed since the previous ruling where the court upheld those prohibitions, much had changed. There had been new experience from other jurisdictions, including places in the U.S., but also the Netherlands and Belgium, that the court was able to study and look at. One of the biggest concerns is that, people usually use the phrase slippery slope, that vulnerable people would be harmed by this, by allowing this. But the court looked at what has happened in those jurisdictions and was satisfied that if proper safeguards were put in place, we could do this as well. So it didn't really catch a lot of people by surprise.
And briefly, Sharon, what's the next step in the process here? If there are challenges to the new laws, you say there probably will be.
There will be challenges. It'll be interesting. The Supreme Court, when it struck down those prohibitions and opened the door to physician-assisted suicide, they deferred the ruling for a year to give the government time to introduce new legislation. As of June 6th, the prohibitions we will have legal access to physician-assisted suicide unless the government puts in some legislation to outline what the criteria are, the limits are. So the government is really up against a clock here because, as of June 6th, essentially those prohibitions are gone. So the next step is trying to get this bill passed. So people are getting ready for this.
Sharon Kirkey is a senior reporter and health writer with Post Media News. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.